be around for the love of her. Turn my life around and I spread love to others. I'm the one serving you facts, with the one serving you daughters. Please be mindful of some Judas and some mothers. Let's go.
Good morning. Welcome to another exciting edition of Blog Talk Radio, Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman on the mic. 71 degrees here in Brooklyn, New York at 6:33 a.m. You know this is our podcast. We're in podcast mode, and it's Eclipse Monday. So, you know, everybody is anxiously awaiting Eclipse later today. It's scheduled to come in around 1:30, and you have to have protective eye gear. Don't try to stare up at the sun. It will indeed damage your eyes, even though the sun is some millions and millions of miles away. You know, the power and the force of nature. So let's take to heed what the science says about the radiation coming off our sun, and not try to stare up into it. But I'm looking forward to it too. Actually, I'll be free around that time, so see if I can grab some pictures and memorialize it myself. I hope you had a great weekend. I had a fantastic one. Very, very restful. Not a lot of football on. Did catch a couple of preseason games. You know, Ravens look good, what other game did I catch? I watched Green Bay, and I can't think of the other team's name. For some reason, it escapes me, but it's a decent game. You know, they played their hearts. So the preseason, so everybody's still fighting for jobs, so we'll see what happens, you know. They have the only player that I really know is Macklin on the Ravens, wide receiver. Used to be with Philly, was with Philly for quite a while. It's a nice season in the league. So we see what he does over there. The Ravens have this desire, for whatever reason, to change their squad up every year. I think they're trying to stay under the salary cap so that they keep their quarterback, who they paid $100 million to about 5 or 6 years ago. You know, I'm sure the contract is close to being up now, so they're going to have to, at some point, really revisit that contract, because the standard, the salary cap, they have to get rid of all their players every year. Ozzie Newsome and the coach, John Harbaugh, so, you know, it's pretty difficult for them, but the Ravens are my team. You know, Redskins, I don't know why I couldn't think of that there, because they're both Maryland teams. You know, one plays in Landover, which is up right outside of Washington. The other plays in Baltimore. So the Redskins lost, and the Ravens won. I like to see that game. Ravens and Redskins, two hometown teams. When I go down to my house down there. So at any rate, you know, the same nonsense, different day, relative to the body politic in this country. Charles Blow has been writing some really scathing pieces about this administration. Let's get right into one. His latest one is dated August 21st, 2017. Failing all tests of the presidency. We are leaderless. America doesn't have a president. America has a man in the White House holding the spot and wreaking havoc as he waits for the day when a real president arrives to replace him. Donald Trump is many things, most of them despicable. But the leader of a nation he is not. He's not a great man. Hell, he isn't even a good man. Donald Trump is a man of flawed character and a moral cavity. He cannot offer moral guidance because he has no moral compass. He is too small to see over his inflated ego. Trump has personalized the presidency in unprecedented ways, making every battle and every war about his personal feelings. Did the person across the street or around the corner or around the world say good or bad things about him? Does the media treat him fairly? Is someone in his coterie of corruption outshining him or casting negative light on him? His interests center on the self. Country be damned. What some have always known about Trump's, others are slowly coming to realize, and what great shock and horror. The president is revealing the essence of a man, and that essence is dark. What America clearly saw in Trump's disastrous handling of the violence in Charlottesville was a Nazi white nationalist apologist, if not sympathizer, a reactionary rageaholic, a liar, and a person who has absolutely no sense or understanding of history. By claiming there were some very fine people among the extremists marching in Charlottesville, the president made a profound declaration. The accommodation of racists is his creed. As Sue Bro, whose daughter Heather Heyer was killed in Charlottesville, said last week, "You can't wash this away by shaking my hand and saying I'm sorry." Heather Heyer was killed when James Alex Field Jr. used a speeding car to mow down a crowd of protesters who had gathered to rebuke the Nazis and white nationalists. According to the Chicago Tribune, one of Field's high school teachers said he once wrote a 3-page homework paper that extolled Nazi ideology and the prowess of the Führer's armed forces. And even before then, the teacher said, he had been well aware of Field's racist and anti-Semitic beliefs from private discussions he had with Field during his junior year. And even worse, the Tribune reported, the last four times when the boy was in the 8th and 9th grade, Florence police were summoned to his home, mostly by his frantic mother, Samantha Bloom, an IT specialist. It was just the two of them living together, and young James, among other incidents, was reported to have spat in her face, smacked her head with a phone, and frightened her with a foot-long knife, according to records of 911 calls. Neighbors in interviews similarly described the troubled youth who treated his mother cruelly. This was no fine person, and no person who walks shoulder to shoulder with him is a fine person. There are no good Nazis. There are no good white nationalist accommodators. There are no good people who see racists and don't want to wretch. But somehow the person we now call president saw what happened in Charlottesville, saw that a car had been used to kill Heyer, and still found it appropriate to say that there were bad people on both sides. He cleaned that up in a teleprompter speech, but the next day returned to the defense of the indefensible, this time with even more verb and venom. He apparently felt the media had unfairly condemned him for his original remarks, and he was going to be the counterpuncher and strike back at the media. Again, it was all about him, not us. But when he lashed out at the media, the cameras were rolling. There were no prepared remarks. There were no teleprompter. Trump stood exposed and in the raw, the deepest, truest thoughts of his soul erupting from his face, and what came out were bitterness and bile. He was not there to heal a nation or uplift it. He was there for personal exoneration and redemption. He wasn't there to plead the case that America should rise on the wings of his better angels. He was there to defend the demons. But when one attempts to do a thing that can't be done, it shouldn't be done, one must employ the tools of deception, obfuscation, revisionism, and flat-out lying. Trump said that he had not initially condemned both sides because he wanted to wait to get all the facts, because that's what he likes to do. Lies. On Saturday, when tens of thousands of protesters turned out to counter a small group of radical racists, Trump's first response was to tweet, "Looks like many anti-police agitators in Boston. Police are looking tough and smart. Thank you." This man doesn't wait for facts. This man doesn't care about facts, or much else for that matter. He only cares about himself, his image, and his positioning. America is functioning barely without a functioning president. Trump is failing every test of the office. How frightening is that? Wow, that's a scathing condemnation of Chump the Brain Dead comic Carnival Barker, but it's an apt one given that the man is totally abrogated his responsibility to be the president of all the people, and he just wants to be president of the small coterie of supporters that remain with him, you know, rabid racists, ignoramuses, and upper middle class apologists frightened out of their wits by the coming demographic change, which won't affect them per se, but it will affect their children. They're quite concerned about that with the browning of America. So we see this country being rudderless and other leaders in the world, notably German Chancellor Angela Merkel filling the void while we wait to elect a real president. And I'm hoping that when Mueller's investigations are all said and done, and they're heating up rapidly, you don't see a lot in the paper about this because the guy is quiet. He's going about his work quite quietly. He's not, has never known to be a showboat, just quietly convening a couple of grand juries. Those grand juries can stay in panel for up to 18 months. So he has one in Arlington, in the federal district court over there, and he has one in D.C. So a lot of heads are going to roll, but what's going to happen first, putting on my lawyer cap here this morning, is that they're going to get some of these people like Flynn and maybe even Kushner, who also enjoys a streak of self-preservation, like we all do, and get them to roll over probably on, you know, people hired in them until they eventually get to Chump. There is some evidence, however minuscule, but encouraging nevertheless, that they might even be going after Pence, which I really hope. Because Pence would be even worse than Trump, Trump the brain dead comic Carnival Barker, for a great deal of reasons. You know, he's a liar also, you know, and, you know, a real hypocrite. So, you know, putting this person, and he ran Indiana into the ground. He was on his way out had he not been asked to become a vice president, you know. But he knows Congress, he knows how to work Congress, and this is the danger inherent in having him anywhere near the presidency. Let's take a break and come back on the other side of the break and finish talking.
Looking for a multimedia management company that can manage media service product for your next multimedia product? Let Eastern York Management take you, your service, and your product to the next level. At Eastern York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek-finished product. Rewrite scripts, logos, blurbs, and spots in a tight, hot funnel. Library that flows smoothly with women's mullet fur. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on popular culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is empathy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute for whack, boring, and uncreated multimedia and talent management company. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you to service or your product to the next level.
And we're back right here at Marketing Pulpit International. New York District, yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, on Eclipse Monday, August 21st, 2017. This year indeed has flew by. It's really, really going crazy. So we were talking on the other side of the break about the investigations heating up. And, you know, those in the know, those in the progressive community know that Trump doesn't plan on, and yeah, a tiger can't change his stripes. So we know that what we see is what we get with this clown. The problem is taking down the people below him, because if you talk about the lines of succession, you know, we're between a rock and a hard place, because you get rid of Trump, and if, say, Pence is able to escape prosecution or doesn't resign, is not pressured into resigning, so we're left with him. If he's out, then we're left with, I think, the Senate pro tem, I'm not really sure, or the House of Representatives, I believe, is in the next line of succession. We're going to look it up. But it's either the senator, the president pro tem of the Senate, or the House of Representatives, which would be Paul Ryan. He is a nut. We definitely don't want him. And then it goes down to, you know, Trump's cabinet. So there are no moderates or moderating voices in that line of succession. And the reason that the Republicans have stuck with this guy thus far is simply because they know that he is going to sign their agenda with nary criticism. He's just going to run it through. He was prepared to do it with the health care bill, lying to the people between his teeth that they were going to, the Republicans' bill, which by all objective measures was disastrous, would have been disastrous for many, many people, especially the ones that it covered, was great and fantastic, and it was better than Obamacare. And you have seen him do nothing except sign executive order after executive order after executive order that basically repeals any laws or executive orders that the president preceded him, Barack Obama, had enacted into law. So his only real rationale for the presidency is to assuage his reputation or his ego after Obama brutally lambasted him at one of at the correspondence dinner several years ago. I mean, he really publicly humiliated Trump. And you see, Trump is not part of the social gatherings. You know, Washington, D.C. is, known, you know, people are known to entertain and invite, you know, a lot of the ambassadors and elected officials, and, you know, people are that are movers and shakers, and Trump and his wife don't participate in any of that. As a matter of fact, the Kennedy Center has a huge gala, which most presidents attend. Oftentimes, if they don't, it's because of a crisis in the country. The only crisis is Trump trying to not be humiliated again, or, you know, as a consequence of something stupid that emanates from the little pie hole in the middle of his face. So he declined an invitation to attend the Kennedy Center honors, and you know, one of the choreographers, De Laval, suggested that she would not attend a reception if Trump were there, and gave a scathing post about her reasons why. It was really, really well constructed. And, you know, this illustrates, man, you know, the fact that, you know, we're in a difficult place here in these United States. And I say, and I have been saying, and those that listen to the Marketing Pulpit International New York Edition know that I have been saying this for many, many months, that we are heading inexorably towards a race war in this country. Because these white nationalists who came out, who Trump trumpets supports in Charlottesville, Virginia, have been angling for this sort of thing. And I hope we don't fall prey to it. I really don't. Because it's going to be disastrous, because we don't know, you know, we know that the police have been infiltrated. There are enough FBI reports on the infiltration of law enforcement by white supremacists. So I'm praying that we don't fall victim to it, because we will lose. You can't adequately fight guns, long guns, and short guns with knives and sticks and bats and that sort of thing. It's a ludicrous proposition. Let's take a break and come back on the other side of the break and finish up.
The Endangered Species Act of 1973 is one of a few dozen United States environmental laws passed in the 1970s. Signed into law by President Richard M. Nixon on December 28, 1973, it was designed to protect critically endangered species from extinction as a consequence of economic growth and development, untempered by adequate concern and conservation. The U.S. Supreme Court found that the plain intent of Congress in enacting the ESA was to halt and reverse the trend towards species extinction, whatever the cost. Then why are the black boys on this list? Black boys are an endangered species. Go to GoFundMe right now. Click on our link and contribute to this important cause. Thank you.
And you're tuned to the Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman on the mic. Monday, Eclipse Monday, as a matter of fact, 8/21, 2017. We're looking forward to it. About 1:30, they said we can expect to see it over our area. Be prepared. Wear protective eyeglasses. Do not attempt to witness the eclipse looking at it without any protective eyewear. And certainly not sunglasses. They are not adequate protection. You need either a pinhole in a piece of paper or the proper type of glasses which filter out the UV rays properly. So we were talking about, on the other side of the break, about the Mueller investigation heating up and Alliance of Secession and what comes next, frankly. Because we are rudderless in this country, and it's frightening. And the reason it's frightening is because the Republicans has brought this, visited this on this country through their mean-spiritedness and their own racism, because they've tried to enact laws that they know will hurt even their own constituent, which are poor whites. They know that those, but they don't care because the ones they are beholden to are upper middle class whites and some blacks that are act as apologists that don't see themselves quite in the same light. They feel they live in a rarefied, you know, in their little gated communities. We talk a lot about this in a piece that I published some years ago called Our Black Folks. I think I'm going to put it up this morning on our Twitter site. So look for that. Later today, I'm going to put it up either during or after class on our Twitter site, Our Black Folks. And we talk a lot about these sellouts, accommodationists, gradualists, Sambos, Toms, and Jemimas, whatever you want to call them, because they are utterly unconscious and they walk around spouting. You know, I was up in Detroit many, many years ago, and it was like everybody was trying to be blacker than the next person, and everybody was trying to seek a grant, 501c3, so that they could, you know, basically suck at the teat of the government largesse, you know, not really have to struggle with anything. You know, it was interesting phenomena. And, you know, they walk around, like I was saying, spouting all this here, brother this and sister that, and these people aren't really conscious. And, you know, over the weekend we lost Dick Gregory, who was a fascinating advocate for black people in this country, you know. He gave up a really thriving career. He's one of the best paid, highest paid black comedians in the late 50s, early 60s when he broke out, and gave that all up, man, to become you know, real passionate activist for racial equality and you know, unapologetic. I mean, you know, he really went after people that he felt were accommodationists in our community, gradualists, you know, sellouts. and lived somewhere in Fort Washington. I mean, he, you know, right outside D.C., if not D.C. I know his daughter, one of his daughters is doing something. He had quite a few children. They're all grown now and would be roughly my age, if not older, all in their 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, because he was 84 when he transitioned on Friday. And he'll be sorely missed. He was a regular fixture on Gatewood's station, WOLAM, and also on some of the podcasts that come out. But certainly on 1450, which is the flagship station for Radio 1. He was a regular fixture on the Carl Nelson show. So we could frequently tune in and listen to him there. But you need to tune in here to the Marketing Pulpit International. I'm just the host that sets it off on Mondays, but we have hosts every day from 10:30 to 11, and on Friday from 10:30 to 11:30, and I believe we have a show on Saturday. So keep it tuned right here on the Marketing Pulpit International, where we bring you information that helps you make informed decisions. Have a nice week.